So, navigating this space as a boss, or all the way bossed up, navigating the space all the way bossed up, your dating life is no longer, your dating career is no longer fledgling, because I hear you often talk about partnership, and for me, partnership is that's capitalistic. So it's more of a career, a dating career, somebody that you can partner with to run the product of whatever mission that y'all have together.
I love that.
Not just being together to be together. And with having this level of like consciousness, as you would say, I would just say tapping into this mindset of just your individuality, of something, you know, creatively designed for you instead of something that was custom made by somebody else for you. So where once in your life you might have felt like, damn, why all these dudes ain't working out? Is it me? And fuck it, I might as well just not date for a little while and go celibate for whatever, and I just need to focus on some other things. To now, if these dudes want to be used like toilet paper, I'm down with that. Like, how did you slide from that one end to this, of the spectrum to now wearing a badass wig with his alter ego, wearing no drawers in the clubs down in Orlando, and for the world to see on Instagram?
Wow.
You see, your daughter's 22 this year, so you're like, you know what?
Here I am.
Here's
right.
Tatiana.
Here I am. You know, so again, fixed mindset was believing and buying into this whole notion that if by 35 you're not married in a relationship, something's wrong with you. And then, you know,
that's that old Negro superstition.
No, that's just, again, I mean, it was something in actually the Buffalo News that had something about it, because I remember
mainstream.
I mean, years ago.
Yeah,
exactly.
Look at the level of propaganda towards slavitude.
Exactly.
Right here for the institution of marriage.
For the institution of marriage. Exactly. Exactly.
That was extreme. That was terroristic lobbying right here.
All the way live. All the way live. So I was like, oh, okay. And then wanting to, you know, have companionship. Right, but got it really, really twisted on what that looked like.
Was you wanting companionship or was you wanting possession?
So, great question. I'm not certain because I wasn't clear. So I can't answer that question for me back then. Was not clear on what I wanted, and I think that may have added to why, you know, certain, you know, scenarios and situations didn't work out. But I also claim that for the good. Because it was all for the betterment, you know, for me.
Look at the empire.
Come on now. Right, because had I, you know, stayed married, had I, you know, not done the thing, this wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't even be this, right?
Yeah.
So again.
We wouldn't be family.
We would not.
Mm-mm. Either way.
Either way.
Well, me and John Tay is family one way. And then me and you is family.
Yep. Well, you and John Tay fam, yeah. But yeah, several ways. But anyway, you know, right? This is crazy.
Black families,
yeah.
Baby.
Oh, blended. My goodness. And blended into another sense. So,
we don't want to talk about the Game of Thrones that sparked in my family.
No.
For no reason. Just innocent.
Yeah, just, oh, we only want to talk about that. But I remember I'm being in Tennessee. Meet this guy. He was, oh my goodness, he was so handsome. My sister saw him watching me.
Will you tell her to pick her jaw up?
Yes. So he was so handsome. But anyway, he ended up being a dud. But nonetheless, he ended up being a straight buster. I was like, matter of fact, my sister and I named a drink after him. We said, he's so busted. Listen,
well, at
see
least
if
he
you
made
get
it
this.
To some type of matter of significance.
Guess what right. his drink is? Guess what his drink is? I'll right. have a James. Water with lemon.
That hurts.
Fuck. And we know what they do with the lemons in restaurants.
They don't wash them. But anyway, so yes. So anyway, after that, I just kind of felt like I was, you know, kind of in and out of these, you know, Jive-ass public relationships and stuff.
Don't call him with no James. Listen. That's my shit.
Man. Well, he was called a James. And I was like, yo, what are you doing? Do you know what you want? Do you know who you are? You just out here for no good reason. So I went celibate for almost 7 years.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. I went celibate.
You see, my whole body broke down for a minute. Yeah. And reboot. You did what?
Yeah. So now, let me put some context around that, right? I'm celibate in terms of no penetration. Now, if there was somebody I was hanging out with and he was interested in pleasing me, I allowed him. You know what I mean? But there was no
penetration. Get your little head on the side. Go ahead. Yeah.
Listen, can you say cunnilingus? Yes.
You front, man. It was mad because it was going down there eating that box and coming up with that. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I told you.
Nope.
Get this thing.
Nope. Why is he looking like that? Anyway, so anyway,
talking about the game, not me.
I know I am talking about the game. So the idea was like I took a time out. I gave myself a time out because I need to begin again cataloging. I need to begin kind of figuring some stuff out because I felt like I was on this track going nowhere fast. Right. So I was like, yo, if you wanted to jump off, just say it was a fucking jump off. And that was just it. But be cool with what it was, but be able to identify it and stop saying it is something when it's something else. So then
it's going to be holy matrimony.
Right. And then the whole space of do you even want to be married? And when I pulled back the layers, I was like, yo, marriage really isn't the thing that I feel like I have to have. I'm about partnership. So that's where, again, Najee and I had this kind of, I'm about partnership. Why? Because love isn't enough. How do I know it's not enough? Because over 50% of marriages end in divorce. Mm-hmm. So for me, if a cat is trying to, you know, like interested in being in this space with me or we're cohabitating, it's about communication, cooperation, partnership, collegiality, and legacy. How do we leave something that our kids and grandkids can complete, and how do we leave this world better than we found it, and then how do we make someone else's life good? Because when you make someone else's life good, your life becomes good, right? So that's kind of like where I am in terms of this whole space. And so, you know, I'll meet somebody. Well, first and foremost, I hear often that men don't approach me or women like me because we have everything, whatever that means.
Excuse.
Exactly. Hello, Punk Logic.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Hey, simping. You're assertive, or you know this whole thing, and I'm not like Punk Logic. So, I just said this. Jim does not seek, it is sought, and when my king is delighted in me, he'll call me by my name, period. I'm not looking for
Jim.
It. Yeah.
Who's Jim?
A Jim. J-M.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
J-M. So I'm not looking for anything. I know that I will be in a productive partnership with someone. Now, if we end up saying, hey, we want to, you know, get married or whatever that thing is, but if we don't, that's cool because I'm about productive relationship. I'm positivity. I'm about great energy and synergy, and I'm about let's go get it.
So what has that fasting from sex done for your like your libido, your drive, your zest, your joie de vivre?
It didn't harm it at all under any circumstances. You know, I didn't feel like, oh my goodness.
By whose perspective?
Were you
still a delight amongst your friends, or were they like, man, she needs a dick, and in the worst way?
No, I was still a delight. I was still me because again, I didn't allow that to spill over into, you know, who I am as a person. Yeah, so I was still a delight. I was still Tamara, and Aiden was like, yo, whatever. But I would say to my friends, like, yo, the next person, he going to get his back blown out.
Come on, man. You want to fight in the fairy dust?
Listen.
Come on. And then blow him away.
Right? So that's the space, you know, and you know, and not in a thing where it's like, yo, I'm a good person, like straight up, like the cats that I've, you know, been, you know, in relationships or whatever. I'm a great person. They don't say anything like, yo, I don't have nothing to say. Matter of fact, I ran into my ex. He was like, yo, can I take you to dinner? Yo.
And I still climb that
yes,
mountain.
Exactly. He want that monkey. Jeez. That monkey wanted to climb this tree again. I'm like, thanks, but no thanks. And it was
like brilliant segue because that's like bringing us up into right now where we relationships.
Yes.
Wait, that's the part. This is the part that you wanted to get into, and I know there were some things that you wanted to unpack specifically, like with the young man that you were just courting recently.
Yes.
Your young courtesan.
Yeah.
And relationships within, I don't want to say your womanhood, but your womanality. You know what I'm saying?
I love that womanality. I'm going to have to spin that some way, somehow.
I don't know if that's the right way.
I don't know, but I like it.
But it's just like, you know, I like to focus more on individualism. You know
sure.
And it's your experience. And I don't want to discount your experience for all of women's experience.
Absolutely. And then, right. And we have to be respectful of that.
Yeah,
sure.
It's yours. Because we all don't share the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into that. So let's start back where you were just talking about running into your ex. And he was just like, or AX.
Yeah.
And then, because that immediately jolted me to, your young courtesan recently, when he's
saying young, he's not young like he was younger than me. He was, and he was older than me. But we're saying young because of the duration of the connectivity of the relationship.
I'm saying young because you're always young at heart. You know what I mean? If you're a phoenix, that means you just got born just a minute ago because you burnt up.
Okay.
So you know what I mean?
All right. So I mean. Young in that instance.
Yeah, you're always young, baby. You're old as a concept to keep you.
Oh, well, I'm always young. I'm fly. Indeed.
But Goose is ages, just so you know. You're sitting here with a baby. He's an ages. He, like, he doesn't like anything old. You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
I could be sitting here and I could just, you know, ate good and exhale when I bend over to pick something off the ground. He'd be like, oh, he washed up. He's dying. He's old.
I'm not an ages. I just like to pick on him.
Okay.
He's a troll.
Good, good. Cool. So yes.
Yeah, so let's dig back into that, like, because I remember having this conversation, and I thought it was dope for our students to hear this conversation once you were walking away from the office, and you were talking about your little excursion, and by excursion, I mean your brief time with this, you know, with this gentleman.
Yes.
So, and he was like, yo, I can't understand, like, why you reaching out, you know what I mean? Like, you keep getting at me, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, shit, you know, I'm just letting you know you're a hell of a being, you know what I mean? It ain't just the snapper alone, you know what I mean? Because that snapper had you going crazy already, but when it's just, you know, he laying brick in your yard, and you know what I'm saying? He around, he want to help out, but then he going through his own personality crisis because due to the level of disruption that you bring to,
the climate.
Like, challenge his thinking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you're like, man, like, why are you keeping me up? And I'm like, he missed that freedom. You know what I'm saying?
And don't even know it.
And didn't even know. Like, you know, you were freedom personified for him, and it was threatening.
Yeah.
So bring us through what this looks like for you. For at one point in your life, you thought that your dating life was forever cursed or fucked up just because you were you.
Mm-hmm.
But now you know that you just... I don't want to say in this exalted being, but like you have your pick, because the wealth of what the wealth of the world is.
Yes,
like, you don't limit yourself.
Yes,
to just a limiting experience.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't working, it ain't working.
It ain't working.
And I've seen you dispose of these gentlemen like the Kleenex without lotion.
You're so silly.
So I wanted to know.
So here's the irony.
We wanted to know.
Right. So the irony in this is, he actually broke up with me.
Oh shit.
And this is the first time
it's ever. This was a Scooby-Doo mystery the whole time. Well, you understand
the Scooby-Doo snacks, right? I'll say this. Yes, he broke up with me, which was a headbanger because I'm like, huh? Like, wait a minute.
This was new.
This was new in the fabric of my life and my existence because I'm normally like, you know what? This isn't working.
Oh, there you go, Conrad. Good for you.
Right. And things of that nature. No. Or sometimes it was amicable.
Okay.
It was amicable because, you know, we realized that our love had taken us as far as it could go. And we wanted to always, you know, make sure that our friendship stayed intact. And we did that. We honored that. So this is one of the things, you know, with the the man I was just dating. We had an amazing almost 8 months. Let me tell you, we rolled up, great trips, the whole thing.
Tore it up.
Tore that thing all the way down to the ground.
Ooh, come on now, take it easy. Right.
Really? I know. I was lost in the moment.
I led you down the road. I'm sorry. I had to.
Why? So, but he tapped out. And you know what I say? I give him mad props because guess what? He was mad enough to say, you know what? Even though he ain't come all the way straight with why, but he said, you know, he had to say some of his Sam go. He had to say some of that ego because, you know, a man ain't can just be like, you know what, bitch, shit. You just a little bit too much. You don't sit down. You just go.
I will.
And how many?
And I mean that in the cultural sense.
Yes, we know that you mean it.
Don't mean that in a derogatory sense. Right. Used to handle and manipulate women to make them feel low, to debase them and make them feel lower than themselves. Right. You know.
Right, and insult their personhood.
Cultural.
Right, exactly.
It's just cultural. You know what I mean? Right. It just make it sound better. Like, bitch, what you talking about, bitch?
No, I'm going that far. Yeah, you did. You pushed the envelope to me. Out of pocket.
That's what I do. Goose needs to let me know when I'm out of pocket.
Out of pocket.
Sometimes it happens. I'm human. God damn it, I'm creative. It happens like that sometimes. Mm. I can't help it. But you were saying.
Right, I was saying. So, I give him a lot. I give him some credit. I give him credit. I'm not going to completely discredit him for saying, you know what? Right now, I'm not ready. Mm. I'm not ready. And I was like, well, what had happened was, like, we just had a great time. We just went on vacation. We were in Vegas. We in D.C. Like, I'm like, huh? What? But what, again, having the opportunity to kind of process and think about it from his perspective, when you're not conscious and you're free in that space, I could imagine standing in this space with me could have been overwhelming.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's like those games of holding on to the electric shockers for as long as you can for the prize at the carnival. It's like holding on to the bucking Bronco. It's you coming to a person that is a roller coaster in the flesh. Like,
exacting.
Complete highs, all thrill, 80 miles an hour, 200 foot drop.
Every day,
all day, and it's all by your design. This person is just who they are. This is just how you experience in this person.
Period.
And not realizing that this is your approach to freedom.
And then on the bigger, level, yeah. Right, I was saying to him, hey, you could be free too. Come on.
But they say Harriet didn't say. I would have freed more
if they only known that they were enslaved.
Come on, man.
And I was like,
that's cold-blooded, man.
Look, it's right here. But how do we say? What do you say? If I got to bring you to it, I got to drag you through it.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
Mm-mm. If I got to bring you to it, I'll have to drag you through it.
I spent most of my life thinking I was crazy because I was the only person like thinking the way I was thinking. And motherfuckers had me like bugged out like for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, come on, like you got to see this with me. You got to see this like how I'm seeing it. Come on, you got to. And it's like, man, sit your dumb ass down. And I started to really think that. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, like maybe I ain't as sharp as I thought I was.
And then here's the deal. That's why, again, the break, like, and on the real, and I don't know if this is kind of selfish or even egotistical to a certain point, but I kind of feel like he did it for me.
Oh yeah, because I can't hold you back. That's when we good.
Yep.
Men, we might be bad at everything else, but we are good at, listen here, baby. See here, baby. You know what I mean? I ain't no good for you.
Yeah, see here. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I can't just come out and tell you that because that's only going to make you love me more. You'd be like, oh, babe, oh, Chester, you are enough for me. Jeffrey, come on. We've built these
Not
8
Chester.
Months together. We've got everything. It's bliss. And Chester, like, baby, in reality, this thing ain't getting no better no time soon. You've just opened up some shit to me that's left my account in even more of a deficit.
Exactly. Because
I need to work my way out this hole and then start fresh and
start all over
there.
Again.
Yeah.
Start all over again.
So you go on ahead.
You go ahead.
Just let me call you sometime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And even unpacking that for real, like I miss him. Like, yo, we had a great time. I'm certain he misses me as well. Cause I'm like, yo,
It's a companionship.
And that's the thing that makes women like me, you know, upset. And maybe men like, you know, both of you, if y'all are single. Like, what, you know, if you have.
You still believe in love and shit. Like, all that kind
of
shit.
I believe in love.
He sit here and watch Disney movies by himself and shit.
I believe in love.
Right. I believe in love in the sense of more of a business partnership. Like, more of the concept of that. Because it's like, yeah, I would love to have babies with one woman and have a family and wake up to them. But to realize that my nightmare is around the corner by means of me having sex with another woman is just not worth the risk.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Well, because you're self-aware in that particular space and you know you like it. You want it 29 times a day and...
But some people argue that that's what love is about. It's about the discipline, the service to the discipline, to say that you're building something with this person and it's not easy. And I can respect that. I definitely can respect that. However, if I go by more of a sense of being a global citizen and having that like obeying my tribal instincts, man, as long as I'm rich enough, that's why I ain't got no more babies. As long as I'm rich enough, I'm gonna sow my seed wherever I feel like it happened to happen that way. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't want somebody to be stuck in a situation with me because I know I'm a handful and I can be a soggy bowl of cereal at times.
At times.
So you know what I'm saying? Like I don't want, you know, I wouldn't want to, and I don't want to deal with somebody who's a wet blanket, you know, sometimes either. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I like to have my own place still, even if I got married or whatever, or went that serious. I still like to have my own place and do things like that. And I'm only saying all these things as like a male perspective,
sure,
to the things in which you're saying, like, of what that might look like. You know what I mean? Because I know what a successful woman might look like, thanks to you, thanks to like the myriad of women in my life. Mm. My homegirl Moon in Houston, has been, you know, another one that held me down and intellectually crazy for a long time. But like, I just, you know, I understand why women are our greatest resource now. And you got anthems like Nice For What and all that, even though it was a pussy way out. You know? I mean, excuse me, a dick way out, because pussy is power. You know? Mm. But, yeah, man, you know, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough for people that's, because it's just going to be a matter of somebody that just aligns with you.
Absolutely.
And likely that's going to be industry-like. You know what I'm saying?
That I concur.
They understand what it means for you to travel. They understand what it means for you to be strong and powerful. They understand what it means for you to be a woman and exacting and understanding and so on and so forth. And it's like, you know what, that's what turns me on even more. You know what I'm saying? Like, they would have to, like, I feel like hustlers have to fall in love with the hustle of another hustler.
Yes.
Not even so much the person. It's like the tale, the legend of this person that I'm tethered to. So imagine what we can do together if we put our legends together, like a Bonnie and Clyde. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Jay-Z and Beyonce. Exactly. That's how they on the run. That's why it's on the run, too.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I love it. And that's one of my favorite songs. And I believe that there is a lot of truth to it. I think when you, like, I don't believe that you have to be similar in every way. I'm not saying that, but there has to be the compatibility, and not just the physical compatibility, compatibility in terms of lifestyle, the compatibility in terms of want, compatibility and the way in which we both move. So
see, that's why I say the hustle, because the hustle shapes everything, all of that for a hustler.
Right, because it's the outline.
How you eat, how much you got for the eating, what you watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, a hustler is like, I don't really care how much this costs. I'm going to get it tomorrow. Whereas, you know, a person that's just in the life, like in life, period, is just like, man, shit, I'm going to wait till Friday. You know what I'm saying? I ain't doing that. Or I ain't one of them. Or I ain't balling. Or one of those, whatever, not pick-me-uppers, but put-me-downers, I like to say. That people like to use for themselves. You know what I mean?
Yo, it's funny that you even said that, yo, and that's why I can't stand you, right? God bless you. So we were out to dinner, right? And he said, you always talk about money. I was like, I do. I said, that's freedom. I don't talk about money.
Come on!
I said, I do a thing called, like, that is not money.
It's nothing. Nothing feels better than that.
Right, I was like, that's freedom. I was like, so, you know, so again, if you feel like my conversation is about money,
having to pull your license at you, like,
listen, you don't know. That's not what I'm saying, and it's not what I'm, you know, mean, you know, to be portraying. So he indicated that, you know, well, for me, you know, I am, you know, I'm good with, basically a modest living, and I said, well, I'm not. I want all of the riches.
But see, that's now perfect point, Guru. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Now, here's the thing. Thank you. Thank you. That was that nut, that intellectual.
Yes, it was.
So, like, you know, back in the day, Goose, you might be too young to remember this. They had verbal intercourse with Ghostface and Nas in them back in the day. I don't know if you remember that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a classic, baby. You know, I'm going to have to put that on for you real quick just so you get a little piece. But, yeah. What you say again, Guru? They have me on attention.
Modest life, I said.
Yeah, so now, boom. Now, the Bible basically forces us, for the most part, to accept the modest in life. The meek in life, right? But you never hear how the meek have to accept the persons that don't decide to be meek. And want to hustle their butts off to get everything they can imagine out of life. So it's like you often get criticized and even ostracized for dreaming and saying, like, yo, I want it all. I want the big cars. I want brand new socks and drawers. I want the, oh, that's excess. That's gluttony. For you.
Right.
For you, that's what that is. For me, that's freedom, because I come from the bottom for real, and I know what it means to not be able to move because you can't eat, because you can't move.
There's no heat, there's no light.
So it's this conundrum. You understand what I'm saying? Because you never have enough. Not because you don't have enough, but because you're belt fed, lacking limitation.
Yep.
Not always from the picture box. As Granny would say.
The TV.
In your community. Your neighbors love modesty. Your neighbors love being right where they are and happy with this small little slice, right? But what about that nigga up the street, excuse me, that person, that brother up the street that wants the whole pie? Mm-hmm. Then when that person gets ostracized because the community is basically relegated to a ceiling.
Yeah, this groupthink.
Yes.
Groupthink.
Exactly.
Groupthink.
Exactly that.
Groupthink.
Exactly. It's that collective consciousness of all we want is this modesty. And then he shamed you mm-hmm. for
wanting
better than the projects for your grandbabies.
And then here's the
because let's be clear.
Yeah.
Without that legacy, your grandkids would be straight project.
Absolutely.
Straight. Because my queen, as militant as they come, imagine if her intellect didn't meet that level of militant.
Mm-hmm. It would have been
down here.
She'd have 3 or 4 kids by now, baby.
And be trying to tell my book, don't you be trying to tell me what works for me. It's my situation. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, come on, Guru. Tell us about this mm-hmm. now. Come on, bring it into it now.
So, I mean.
Stop putting that cut on it and give me that raw dough. No.
I'm not putting no cut on them. Listen, we gonna boil it, right?
Get it down to the base.
Get it down to the base. No, so again,
the pupils dilate.
You know, and again, not in the whole thing of, you know, putting, you know, all of the, you know, our stuff out there and for whatever. My thing is this, the space of just, again, ownership. Own who you are. And again, the wonderful thing again about this is we got to the point where he was like, yo, this thing is going too fast, too far, too hard. And you know what? I need to take a break. I need to tap out and whatever before it really ended bad. And love that. So the thing about this new story and relationships and understanding yourself and the way in which we present ourselves, the moment you see that, guess what? You know, we're not equally yoked. We don't hustle the same. A conversation, our outlook, what we want is completely
different.
So then guess what? Let's just, you know what? This was great, Goose, but you know what? We gonna tap out, right? You gonna go your way, I'm gonna go my way. So then that way, when we see one another, you ain't gonna be like, "Dear, she going?" I'll be like, "Dear, I'm trying to go around the supermarket the other way because I don't want to run into you." But no, listen,
and that's not the impact that I have. We're not even gonna have a mixed signal.
No,
my antenna is straight up, and down. So like, we don't even do that.
When
I see you, is when I see you.
It's love you. Yeah, it was good. How you doing? How the kids? You know, how's it good?
Whatever. Could you get it? Maybe. Probably not. But you know.
Whatever. You know, and then even. You know, like, you know, you
heard of seduction, babe.
He called a couple times. I'm like, "Hey, how you doing? I accepted this call because I ain't got nothing. You know, I ain't got no hate or anything. Hey, you good? What's going on? You know, that kind of thing. You know, I even called him because I was like, yo.
Ain't no reason why I can't be friends. Do it amicably.
And that's what I'm saying. So, again, to let you know, ain't no hard feelings on this end for me. Even though I did have a question, I had a clarifying question, you know, that didn't get answered. But, you know, it's all good because I get also, you know, sometimes when we find ourselves in these scenarios, if we've not done the work, you can't answer the question.
And that's the thing. But that's, again, though, so now I'm stuck in this place of limbo, purgatory type state of being the villain because I know too much. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? This thing could be perfect only if ...
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying, but for me, I'm all right with being the villain if I'm the one who knows too much. Or I'm all right being the villain if I'm not the one who's going to be.
I'd rather be persecuted for being my authentic self rather than being rich for not being who I am. No. That's not me. That's not who I am. Mm-mm.
You can miss me with all that. So
yeah, twice.
you can miss me with all that. So, again, that's one of the other things that just about not only just being bossed up, but just being level with yourself.
But that's a part of creativity as well. That's a huge part of creativity, being able to level with your environment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To become a part of it. And that's so, I mean, that's so attuned now that I'm thinking about it with Covey, with Franklin Covey, Seek First to Understand.
Yep.
That's like
habit number 5.
Yeah, like just, you know, putting myself you know, leveling with this.
Yep.
And understanding it for where it is and putting myself in it.
Right. You know? And I think that's, again, adding to, you know, how it ended up, you know, even, you know, my ex, right? We ended amicably, like we ended amicably because, you know, for me, I was seeking to understand before I was being understood. Cause I was like, okay, well, let me hear your story. Well, you know, where are you? And then I even asked, I'm like, yo, you're bad. I was like, okay, so, you know, what does that look like? And what do you need from me? Cause I want to help you.
Right.
And that's real. And I meant that. Right. I'm like, okay, what exactly does that mean? And then, what do you need from me? What ways might I?
But see, here's the thing. Now, here's the thing with that.
Come on now.
It's not over. He's going to ask you for that help.
You think so?
Oh, for sure.
What you think, Goofy?
I'm telling you, based off of experience. I don't think so. Okay.
And the only reason why I'm saying that, because it's been... Okay, so when...
I'm talking about professional experience that, yeah, romantically... I'm not on your level, but there's going to be subtle cues within your conversation that you're going to understand quite distinctly that he's using language that says, I want to know more. Hmm. And basically, you're going to go
that
into
look,
this.
What does that look like? What does that sound like?
You're just going to go into like more of a mentor-mentee kind of relationship, like a mentorship, like a Jedi.
Really?
If you allow it.
I don't see that.
If you allow it. Well, if you don't allow it, it won't go that way. But, like, I had to do my own clinicals. You know what I'm saying? In a sense. And while I'm fasting, that don't mean I had to fast for conversation. And I love conversation. Especially with the opposite sex.
And so do I. I'm like, hey,
I had to sharpen it and test out my theories and see if they were actually working. So and they've done well. So I have no reason to apologize, right?
No, you no absolutely. So, even if they didn't go well, you still didn't have a reason to apologize.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
But within doing so, I've realized that it's like, yeah, that's not what I want to hear from you, or I'm not in your league, or I feel like I'm not in your league, or you're not in my league, or whatever. Like, whatever they, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, ego, they come back around and be like, yo, it's just like, yo, you know, when I took an evaluation in my life, I just realized, like, you were something really good in my life, and I couldn't understand it because I'm so used to having nothing but negative.
Mm.
So, like, when you're habituated, like, from a scientific point of view, like, once you're habituated to this type of behavior, this becomes the normal. So, no matter how positive that you were coming into a space, it's change. And this change is met with judgment. It's not deferred judgment. It's met with judgment. That's weird. Why do you do that? Why do you eat cereal in the afternoon? Why do you take naps? Why do you do this? Oh, I can't do it. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So all the quirky things that make you mm-hmm. becomes policed.
Mm, and judged.
You
sure.
see what I'm saying?
And assessed and evaluated.
Right. Okay. Because it's alien. And it's like, I want to know more, but because I can't defer judgment, I forget that I'm trying to learn this thing that I'm exploring.
Mm.
I start to, again, we fall in love with the abuse. Mm. I want to abuse you. I want to make you more like
you.
Me. Yeah.
I want to possess you.
And not only that, I want to suck you dry of that.
Mm. I want to possess you.
Let's not forget that, because I don't want anybody else to get that either.
Mm-hmm.
So I want that to remain right here. Now, if you allow him to come back into your world, we mended things, and then he did it again. Right? Now, y'all relegated into this level, like this kind of experience within y'all relationship. So this is abuse now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can keep doing this to you over and over and over and over again and not respect any kind of recourse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep sapping you, because you're going to keep trying to figure out, why are you doing this? Like, why? I can change.
Yeah, but so, again.
That's how watery roads, that rock. It's only a matter of time. Water is just going to keep flowing.
Mm-hmm.
The rock is going to keep sitting there getting pounded and sculpted into whatever the water wants it to be. You know what I'm saying? And that's what abuse could be if you're not the water. You know what I'm saying? And you have to switch positions. You have to become the water, unrelenting.
Well, I'm the water.
Exactly. He's the rock. You understand what I'm saying? Perpetrating as if he was water.
Come on now.
Trying to get you to mirror him because mirror neurons is always active, right?
Yeah.
So, goose sit back, I sit back. I sit up, you sit up, he sit up. You sit back, I sit back, he sit back. He sit up, you sit up, I sit up. We've been doing it all night.
Right, he yawn, you yawn, I yawn. Yeah.
Stick your leg out, y'all stick it. Mirror neurons is always active, right? And we're reticularly activated because we're human, but we need to belong.
So was, you know, my neurons, what I was mirroring was, it was just too much.
No, for him it was too
right, much. Right, that's what I'm saying.
You was having a funky good time.
I was having a crazy
feeling fancy time. Free. You riding him to pieces?
Yo, I'm getting like, my booty rubbed like, yo, I'm
he like, this is too good to be true. I have to kill myself before this kills me. I have to. Now he's sitting around looking like Skipper, dead president's dead in front of Al Green singing.
I know.
I'm so tired of being alone. I'm so tired. You know what I'm saying? And he's steady looking at that phone, wishing and wanting. And praying that you call him back. And
I called him. I was like, hey, you know, he called me, you're right. And I was like, come on, whatever. But anyway, I called him last. And he called me back. And I was like, yo, I had a question for you. And I was looking for my aviators. But anyway, and then I asked him a question. I was like, yeah, I do have a question for you. I had a clarifying question. I was like, yo, whatever. He was like, well, you know, I'm getting ready to go. Whatever. And then I was waiting for, well, listen, is it possible for me to call you back so we can have this exchange? Nothing. So I think he's done.
For now.
I think he's done.
See, the thing about... You a Scorpio?
I am. Please, I'm a Scorpio.
And Scorpio is the water sign, right? Didn't we find that out last night?
I think it's an air sign.
Get the fuck out of here. I don't remember. Come on, man.
I think I'm a water sign.
Either water
or air. And water signs have to release people and let them back into our lives if you a water sign.
Hold on, let me.
I'm a water sign. And last night, homegirl, I'm Aaliyah, right? Wasn't it Aaliyah? That was something like that? You're a water sign, and people always gonna come back around in your life, and it's gonna drive them crazy that you don't treat them like shit, like how they want to be treated that way. Why do you think Fortune 500 executives pay a lot of money to have people abuse them, women and men? Guru,
I think it is a water. It says water because Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah,
that's us.
That's so why hold
we
on.
That's why right. we couldn't. That's why we couldn't be around each other for too long. Your feedback is messing up.
Water sign.
Yeah, but I was saying something before that. What was I saying, Bruce? I was saying something about letting people back in your life.
Oh, because when you're water sign, they come back in, and
yeah,
then
you gotta let them in. You gotta keep letting them because what ends up happening is, it's like you become like this. This myelin sheath, like this incubator, like that allows them, like that gives them a boost in for life, and they go back out into the world and do more amazing stuff, and they come back
for a charge,
depleted, and then you let them go again, and you service them in any capacity and by means in which you're supposed to do that, you know what I'm saying? And that's just I've accepted that. I'm not saying that that's for you, but I've accepted that to be a part of who I am, a part of my purpose, because every person that I've come in contact with has, every person that I've established a relationship with has doubly established a relationship that became eternal for them. You know what I'm saying? So even I don't call people, right? And it's not because I just don't want to call people. I don't deal with separation well. I don't deal with a band. Like, I just don't deal with
right.
You're away well. And not like I break down or anything. It's just over time. It just became that way. So people consistently come into my life and they tap into my main veins and they find a way to sabotage to dip. So like recently I've had to do custodial work. It means like, yo, you can tap into me. You can use me to get back into the world to do what you was designed to do. But don't do it snidely because that means that we're not really friends. You know what I'm saying?
I dig that.
So,
and I, you know what? So guess what? I'm feeling that, right? Because as I am listening to you and receiving that and hearing that, I'm thinking about my past relationships. So with we stayed in contact and he's getting ready to get married. Right? Because again, we had that understanding, you know, Grant, he was like, I miss your fire. Mm. No, he was like, I miss your fire.
And again, not talking about that snapper.
No, he's not. He was talking about the energy. My energy. He was like, your conversation. He was like, you just raw.
That
and Kanye, I love
that. Donald Trump. Yeah. That same kind of fire?
Listen, I don't know. That
that's
kind
what they
of
said,
fire.
Is that fire energy. Yeah. That's what Kanye said. Then he said, that what he said, bro?
Lion.
I said fire and dragon energy.
Mm. So anyway, so you know what? Yeah, I'm receiving that. I'm hearing that to see about, you know, this energy and them coming back and, you know, kind of, you know, needing, hey, listen, it's just something about you that charges me. That's something about you that gives me.
And it's going to make you feel good because ultimately it's still serving that ego. And I remember having a conversation with you last year sometime where we was talking, I was just curious. I'm trying to find a way on how to use my ego. And that's, we have to serve it, right?
Sure.
We can't serve two masters. But you can tap into serving one and then the other as long as you know how to shift gears.
Yep.
The modulation. Shout out to Chris St. Bill. Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to modulate, i.e. switch gears between Sasha Fierce to become Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. Right.
From Jay-Z to Sean Carter. You got to know when, where, how.
And that's that whole, and then that taps into the same principles with polarity.
Of course.
Not staying long.
Yohari window. All those things. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to know yourself. That's that awareness. You got to know yourself and where to shift gears. And when you know yourself at this capacity in which the energy that you collect. See, I've been a dog. You've never had to know the worst of yourself. I've had to know the worst of myself. You know what I'm saying? So I can collect some things upon that repair to say that, you know, like the more you be out here and people go on their way, be open to allowing them to come in, into your life and have to correct them in order for them to be able to use their key to come into your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they're going to come to your door drunk, stumbling, dropping the key. And you're going to have to come outside, help them pick the key up and put it in the door and be like, this is how you use it. Because they're going to sabotage.
Mm.
They're going to sabotage to want to leave your life because it's threatening because I don't have it. And I'm trying to adjust. And every time I try to adjust, I get to thinking, I get to being insecure.
Mm, get overwhelmed all over
it's
again.
Like a lightning storm. You don't go outside in that.
And with your umbrella up.
You know what I'm saying? And your name happens to be Storm. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't go outside into that. You protect yourself from that. And you, he only knows how to protect himself one way. Like one of my mentees, like I was saying earlier. I call him MC Hammer a lot of times, and he know who he is when he listens to this, because he's a giant hammer, and everything at times is a nail. He only wants to, satisfy all disagreements with some type of aggression and violence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that might be cool in certain theaters.
But not in every.
Not when you get to them top theaters. That's a non-contact sport, baby. You know what I'm saying? And the only non-contact sport that comes from the culture is pimping. And but they being on the chicks, but they wouldn't touch each other. You know what I'm saying? It was a non-contact sport. You know, so we don't know. We don't handle that well. And as a people, we don't handle that well because the message for the past 400 years has been aggression and oppression and
savagery.
Yes, and violence and, you know, disturbance. You know.
Right.
So, you know, like, holism, unfortunately, requires that you to include that in your recipes. Because you're not just dealing with a person that just had a neutral experience. He has had, for lack of better terms, the casual black male experience in America. Mm. And this is where the Bible comes in, where you say, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do.
Yes.
He don't want to block his blessings. You could be very well everything he wants in life, but it would cost him everything that he thought
he knew.
Yeah.
And everything he thought he knew.
And he might not be willing to give up. Or you could be an utter piece of shit to him. And he just like, bitch, I had enough. The jig is up. You ain't jacuzzing nobody.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying? So now that's one facet. That's love life, right? So yeah. Bring us home with the with the convo about friendship and with this newfound shattered slavitude, aka freedom, aka libertad.
Oh wow. I think again it just goes back to the very beginning in terms of knowing yourself and being so steeped in that you're able to recalibrate, you're able to modulate, you're able to see the unique experiences and relationships that come in and out of your space and be able to appreciate and love them for what they are and not think that, you know, just because, you know, you had something with someone or something with someone for the longest, that means it is the most substantial of the things. And just this year having to have crucial conversations, not only with people that I cared about, but also with myself and about, listen, well, you know what? My sister said this to me. She said, you're so selfless with your giving and with your sharing of yourself. You bring, when you're attached to them and you like them and you find commonality, you bring them in. And she said, there's still ways for you to help people, but you don't got to bring them all the way in, and you ain't got to bring them all the way in for the ride. Because when they come, you know, not everybody can handle the enormity of who you are.
I disagree. I believe you got to bring them in for the ride. And if they can't handle it, they flail off. They're going to find a way to kill themselves. But how else do I know that my people is for me?
Right.
Without letting them experience me.
Sure. And you know again, what I mean? I'm understanding that allowing people to experience you or allowing people to, or force people to experience you. But when, like you said, the people that come in, not everybody is built like you, not everybody is interested in
saying. I
don't
want the energy in here anyway.
But here's it, like you said. They go away and they sabotage and then they kind of come back and then they need that charge. Well, it could be damaging. We just, okay, we're going to bring everybody along for the ride and
not
then half of them.
Not if you're in abundance.
When
you operating with your cup running all the way over, it's nothing like this mahogany coconut candle from Bath & Body that you have filled up and smelling good. And you like, God damn. Like, I don't really want it to be over because that's another 30 I got to spend to get another one back. Unlike that candle, we not like that. This is replenishing.
Mm-hmm.
But it requires that we keep light energy around us to
absolutely
pour into us. If you supposed to be having your impact on the world the way you're supposed to be having it, then that means that sometimes you got to get in the pit individually with somebody. It's called mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
And bring them along with you. You know what I'm saying? Not drag them. Yo, listen. Come on, man. Don't miss this train. Now, they hop in the roller coaster. They strap in tight. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But they get so scared of the falls that they wiggle themselves out. Like we were talking about earlier with the thrill. It's for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's freedom for me, but it's craziness for you. And you wiggle yourself out. You pop out. You die. That was on you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad you had to experience that because I didn't need your scary ass with me. I need you to bring that scared business and that energy with me, having me fucking up and stutter stepping, second guessing and all that.
Right, but again, so love that analogy. Love being on a ride, love, you know, wiggling out. But when you care about somebody in their space and they wiggle themselves out, Goose wiggle himself out and he pop out and he dies. But right, but we still feel for that though. It's just kind of like, yo, well, why the hell didn't Goose come on?
But then that's when I tap right into that apex predator. That's when I tap into like, that
Phoenix. Then guess what? Then you
I burn up. I have to let you go.
Because, right.
Okay. I have to burn up like that flame right there, like this flame right here. As Usher said in this early 2000 hit with
Let It Burn.
Let that shit burn. I have to, and I hated that song. And it was on all my mixtapes. I hated it because it meant that I had to be in pain. So now that I know that I can't avoid that.
So just let it burn.
And then I have to let that happen.
And then when it burns off and it's gone.
So when I see you again, I'm a brand new star. Hey.
I like that.
Now,
that was a dope analogy. Because you know what? You might have earned your platinum status today, Negro.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate that. You dig? I need that. But that's the way I see that, man. No matter when you see me, it's going to be the two eyes, the spectrum of the two eyes, man. You're going to be inspired or intimidated. That just fits your ego. You know what I mean? Because it's all about you. You're going to be in your head. And I'm going to be smiling. And I'm going to be living good. You ain't going to see me nowhere. And, you know, when you see me, it's going to be somewhere like a Whole Foods or something like that. Or, you know, a Gucci or something. Or coming out of somewhere nice. And, you know what I mean? Me and my boy, we having a good... It's going to always...
It's always going to be butter. It's always going to be love.
It's going to be butter, baby. So it's like, you know, you could either get with me or not. Some people be trying because they love that energy. I'm getting that right. But they not willing to go through everything it takes to complete the ride.
Cut
so
man.
They, yeah. Yep. So they get, man. So they, I got to get out of here. Oh my God. No. And you kill yourself.
And then we were looking like them.
Because you couldn't let that ego go. You willing to kill yourself in order to let your ego live. It's reputation. That's why I love Coco. The Disney movie Coco. Oh man, you got to watch that.
I haven't seen Coco.
Man, it was my reputation.
Coco,
you yeah. Like it?
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It won like good. Awards and everything.
How long? I mean, how old is Coco?
It came out last year. Yeah, oh. It won awards and everything.
Yeah, it's about really reputation, man. Having that big ass ego, man. So it's not about me. I take myself out of the equation with other people. It was my fault, so I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm with you on that one, because that's me. I'm going to tap out. You ain't got to worry about it. I'm going to.
But now that you've left me, I imagine that you've acquired those golden paved streets of heaven that I've been blocking you from, or I've been in the way of.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know where I'm going. Now, you had your theory on what will work. I have mine. And I know where I am within my quest. Where are you? So like I said, it's either you're going to be inspired or intimidated. Mm. You're going to be inspired because you'll be like, yo, I see myself within this person. Or you're going to be intimidated and say, I'm nothing like them. Mm. This thing is the real life version of an Instagram. You know what I'm saying? I can't swipe away from this. You know what I mean? This is the real deal. So, you know, like, that's still a form of attenuating yourself and your power when you try to distract yourself from persons in your past experiences. Mm. They're always going to be. Yes. As long as they have breath in their body, they're always going to be. And so are you. So am I going to be intimidated when I see you?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
It's all good.
I'm going to be inspired because I'm working hard for you. You inspired me to go even harder because the next time I see you, you got the man. I want you to see the sauce dripping.
Listen.
So, you know, but we was talking about friendships, man. Come on, don't get me too far distracted.
Listen, yeah, so again,
bring it all home.
Right, so the idea, the notion of friendships is you have to be a friend to yourself, period, first and foremost, you have to be a friend to yourself. And in the event that, again,
and
talking about
what the definition of friendship really means.
Study what the definition of friendship really means, and then understand that if the individuals that you thought, you know, but you claim or is your friend, but they're you're some way along the line and your perspectives have changed. The way in which you view the world, the way in which you see and the way in which you show up. So here I'm going to leave you with this. I love this quote. It's not mine. We at any moment should be able to demand, dictate the palette of our emotional sky.
Oh, and we got that. I'm going to hold it right here. Yeah, we're still going. Go ahead. So you got your emotional sky.
Right. So what, for me, that was so powerful because it makes sense for me as an individual who carries her weather with her.
Storm. Ooh, you ain't even see that.
I'm dead. Ooh. I did not. I carry my weather with me. So when I'm in scenarios and situations, and I was thinking about this, and this was the connection I made, happiness is our responsibility, period. Happiness is our responsibility. No one can make you angry unless you allow them. No one can bring you out your personhood unless you allow them, or you don't have self-mastery.
Period. If you can't articulate yourself.
Listen, right, because you have not been able to, for one reason or another, you've not been able to tap into your belief system, your behavior, and say, you know what, Goose is getting on my last nerve right now. And so since I'm the problem, let me go over here and get my mind right. Because this is Naja's birthday. We're all here in, you know, Maui. We're all here in, you know, Belize. We're all here in Dubai, whatever, boss up. And I cannot, again, allow myself to again be pulled in by somebody else because they're unhappy, because they haven't been able to modulate, they haven't been able to say, you know what, I'm gonna be happy if I'm sitting here by myself.
It's
a fact. So the notion of the idea of that is we're in control of that, because guess what, fault and responsibility don't go together. It might be, right, somebody's fault that, guess what, you forgot the beer, you forgot the pizza, you forgot the, whatever it is that you were supposed to be, but it was your responsibility, our individual's responsibility, to ensure that we still show up as our authentic self. We show up as being happy and not be expecting the environment, the people, the food, the energy, to be the one thing that is the smoke in the gun. You're the smoke in the gun.
Yeah, on yourself.
On yourself, period. And I had, this unique situation happen to me. And I'm like, yo, wait a minute. What exactly does this mean? And whatever. And it was followed up by a magical dream. And this is where I'm just going to leave it. I was in a supermarket, Goose, and I was naked. From head to toe with some flip flops on. That's it.
Come on, but the unique thing
about this dream, Goose, I promise you, is I was dreaming, but I saw myself. I was watching myself in the supermarket, and I'm moving around the supermarket like a free woman. My shoulders are erect back, my head is up, and as I'm passing people, I'm pushing this shopper cart, and I'm nodding at them. I'm looking at them. I'm waving. I was not at all under any circumstances ashamed. I'm in the produce section, and I could see a mirror, and I smiled at myself. I watched myself in this supermarket naked. I dropped something. I bend down to get it. I look up. And there was a husband and wife and their daughter who played basketball with Jontae. I said hello to them. Went on, and then I'm on my way to check out. I have things in my cart. And I see my first, the former director when I worked in the student life office. And she kind of like scuffed, like, here she go again. And then I realized that although I was okay and I was secure and I was fine, my very presence was making people uncomfortable because of my level of consciousness. So what it meant is I'm even ascending on this higher level of freedom. And people that have been around me, if they're not ascending, if they're not moving in, I'm the problem because I'm different. I get to a register, and there's this older black woman there, kind of hunched over. She was short in stature. She didn't say much. As a matter of fact, I don't know that she spoke, but her body language was open. She nodded, and I was saying to her, not everything in the card is mine. And she was like, okay. Well, let's sort out what is yours so you can pay for it, so you can get on, because you need to be shopping in another space.
Mm.
Right, like, and it just meant that it was just time for me to move. So I'm going to use the Sean Carter analogy. When he did a document, the documentary on HBO, one of them shows, and he talked about how each time he had to level up, he had to leave some people behind because they fell off the cart and had to kill themselves because they wasn't ready to come along and do the thing that he was doing. And then each time, and they were like, oh, he left it or their own thing, right? So it's this constant leveling up in life. And I believe that's where people get stuck, because they don't take the next quantum leap. They don't jump. They get complacent with the win, with the kill, and they stay there. But like Eric Thomas talks about and Naja talks about, and then when you understand, you know, again, the king of the jungle, when you understand the apex predator, you always got to be ready to kill. Everybody want to be a beast till it's time to kill.
Until it's time to kill.
So I'm like...
And then they end up making it fine for a coat.
And it, fine for a coat. And we gonna, and then we're going to get some earmuffs made, too.
Right.
Mm. So for me, it's about not being afraid of the kill. And understanding that you always have to be on the hunt to, again, stand in the space of authenticity and elevation.
Be the snowflake.
And you, not only that, be the snowflake, but sometimes you might be the only thing that's there that even resembles a snowflake. And you got to be okay with even that. And then you also have to, you know, again...
That's cold. You gotta be okay.
You gotta be okay with it. You gotta be okay with it. And then you have to say again, when you, again, let it burn, be able to still say, I love you deeply. And it's clear that you're gonna hold on to this perspective, but I can't. So we need to agree to a disagree. So I need to be out.
But does it go that smoothly with friends?
Absolutely. See, here's the deal. It all depends on the maturation of the persons that are in the scenario. Sometimes it does go that way. Like, again, the amicable break. Like, yo, I want what's best with you. Yo, I can't. And then sometimes it's like, you know what? This is some bull, right?
But
you,
does it always have to be a break? Could it be a simple modulation?
So it could be. Again, it all. Guess what? It depends on the fraction. It depends on, again, the persons.
If it's the differences.
The difference
is irreconcilable. Exactly.
So if here's the deal, if we're all matured individuals, right, our maturations are matched, they're equal, and there's a break, something happens, and we say, you know what, here's all of that we've been dealing with. Not one of us agree with it, because we're in this together, we're steeped in it, we're going to agree to disagree, and then we're just going to allow it to be.
Just let it be what it is.
And don't try to explain it. Don't try to force it. And don't try to make it into something that it's not. Then, yes, there's modulation. But if there's one person who says, you know what, you need to understand my point. You need to understand that as my friend, you need to understand that, guess what, whatever I did, I had to do. Even though I can't explain it, even though it makes no sense, even though it's not warranted and or necessary, you, because you're my friend, you got to rock
you
out with me on
eat
this.
My shit.
Yes, you, as a matter of fact, you're going to like it.
Sugar on
and you're going to like it. And you're going to like it.
That's not friendship.
It's not.
But see, that goes into like what we were talking about before. Friendship, people often get it misconstrued to
be,
you know, Goose was there for me.
My homeboy.
In one of my darkest times of my life. Yes, that's how Goose and I became friends. That's not how we sustained friendship. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? That's how he penetrated my atmosphere to my world. That's how I penetrated his atmosphere to his world.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with you. And like with you, I said I had to go through a whole bunch of people that happened to be white in order to even get to you.
Right, to be able to, yeah, to be able to see the moment for what it was, the opportunity.
Right, so it just don't, you don't just get to, okay, so we get into friendship and that's just what it is. No, friendship is the cross between intelligence and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's trust.
Mm-hmm.
Personified. So, like, how are we maintaining that trust?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Your friends have to be, if you're a failure fanatic, your friends kind of have to be mm-hmm. failure fanatics. You know what I'm saying? Because yep. they have to be in the great work, in the words of the great whole, nobody would fall because everyone would be each other's crutches.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that if I'm in this with you, then that means I understand you and I understand why I'm in this with you. So therefore, if you do happen to fall off, I got your back.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm in this for that.
No matter what.
Yeah, I'm just the type of friend I am for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go, not all your friends are going to look like that. Your friends are, they're authentic. They're going to look like who they look like. But that just happens to be the perspective of my level of friendship. If I'm with you, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You could be all the way wrong at the table.
All
the way. I would slap the shit out you when we get in the Maybach.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it's got to go. You know what I'm saying? But by no means, because we became friends in 96, are we still friends in 2026?
Mm-hmm.
Just because we've known each other that long.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. Like I said, one of my bestest and closest friends happens to live 1,600 miles away. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you have several relationships like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have a relationship like that. One of your best friends live 3,000 miles away. You know what I'm saying? We got friends across the globe, around mm-hmm. all over the place. You know what I'm saying? So if it's meant to be,
mm-hmm.
those folks are your family, no matter
right.
what. So you can't close the door on them because you need them to a certain degree. They got to bring you something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. And
that energy that y'all had ain't meant to just die right there within that. You
so
know what I'm saying? So you, I understand what you're saying with modulation, but it's like, it's a slippery slope, man, because it's like you can't really do nothing if the person never sees it. You can't really, especially if you still want to be friends.
Exactly.
You can't really do nothing unless the person really, you know what I mean, want to do the work.
And there lies, again, the conundrum. Because you have to have all parties involved, all hands on deck, and then recognizing that, okay, the work has to be done. And it can't be one-sided. It has to be able to say, okay, well, listen, y'all.
Well, that's the reason why we in this, because it was one-sided. You know, or it blowed up to be that.
Right.
You know
right,
what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
So it's more so like, it's like answering the phone, like, in coded language and saying, basically saying, did you get it yet? Okay. All right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, well, call me back later on.
Call me when you get it.
Year.
Right, call me when
we'll
you get it.
We'll do this again to see if you got it. And it's like, okay, we've been friends for 30 years, but we've been family for,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, X amount of years, or whatever. And I really had to study the dynamics within that, with having to live in people's different spaces, you know, at their mercy, you know what I mean, and measure that integrity and the intelligence that matches with that,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, because that's what's establishing the trust. And I'm telling you, it ain't nothing like allowing that energy to be recycled, because they dropping off something to you when you recharge them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You got to remember, you know these persons at an intimate level.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So they're dropping off clues and tricks and experiences, wealth, and you're giving them some of yours.
Mm.
And your ship's passing. Thank you. Thank you. Kicked it with my homegirl today. Just nowhere. Checked up on her. Pulled up on her job. What's up? What you doing? Man, I needed to see you today. Man,
mm-hmm.
I got so much. It's crazy that I see you right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it answered some questions for her. So much so it made her even more curious that we had to have another conversation. I had to be put in her diet again. You know what I'm saying? To probably not talk to her again until next quarter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Couple months, sure.
So, and she came with so much stuff that I needed. Cooperating information. You know what I'm saying? It was mm-hmm. so much stuff that came in that package at the same time. And then it was still a friend. It was somebody I could be vulnerable with. Mm-hmm. It was somebody that I knew that felt familiar because the intimacy is still high. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you get so much from those. And as a person, like as a water bearer, mm-hmm. it's just a part of the job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's just a part of it. You know what I mean? It's going to be heavy and you're going to be way more emotional, way more sexier and hornier at times. But hey, I'm built for it. And you can't have it no other way.
Right.
I mean, I ain't really like all the way go astrology, but I'm just saying, like, shit, if the similarities are there, if there's some things that you can draw to your actual, you know, what you've considered to be your natural nature. I know we can probably not really consider anything natural because of, you know, we was born in propaganda. But shit, if I can align this, if this aligns with me and who I am,
then why not?
And then just think about it. You got a perfect way to say 9 times out of 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because 9 times out of 10, everybody had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that one person.
Yes. Yes.
So y'all flipped what Norman Vincent Peale was talking about mm-hmm. with 9 out of 10 people who have the inferiority complex.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, in that situation,
It was one. How dope is that?
Come on!
Wow.
90% of
Les
your
Brown
crew
always talks about Norman Vincent Peale.
He does?
Always.
Yo, he was, yo, he threw me off a little bit when he's talking about colored people and all that.
But that in and of itself is an anomaly. Like, how dope is that talking about?
That's insane. I'm still vibrating off one of my students telling me she had a 25 friend group and 100% of them went to college.
Hmm.
I'm like,
that don't happen.
You know what I'm saying? She from Williamsville, though. So, you know, the dynamics are different. So, that's what that sounds like to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody got in.
Yeah.
Everybody got in except one. And it wasn't because she couldn't get in. It's because she didn't want to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
and then
some
she,
other stuff
and then
that
she
was
wanted
going
to
on.
Burn down everybody that was in the motherfucker. Yeah. Well, that person wanted to burn down. Everybody that was in the motherfucker because of their experience mm-hmm. and them not being accept who they are. And what we do, ownership.
It's key.
Accepting personal responsibility. Accepting responsibility as a stakeholder or whomever you are, whatever role title you may have, and the bullshit that comes with you.
Listen.
You can't just accept all the good things. It don't work like that.
Yeah. Right, because you can't be good at, you know, psychoanalyzing everybody else's stuff and not do your own.
That's a fact. And it's just a concept. It's all of who you are.
Sure.
Somebody slapped on, that's good. Somebody slapped on, that's bad. That's your behavior. Right? If you're not biting heads off, drinking the blood, slaying people mercilessly, peeling their flesh off with potato peelers, then, okay, you're not psychopathic, sociopathic, right?
Not the potato peeler.
Yeah. If you ain't just like, you know, passing AIDS around with biological warfare, mm-hmm. pissed off because you got it, then that's not, you're not that kind of person.
Right.
So the basis of who we are is those sunny, happy little beings
yep.
that don't know anything and trying to figure it all out. And at some point, we get so infected with this idea of because we have so many hours of responsibility, that makes me this exalted person or personality that's far away from this juvenile, puerile sense. Of risk and imagination and fantasy, you know,
play.
I want to get all the way away from that because I need you to see me as a serious accountable,
sure.
You know, business person. You know what I mean? And that's what you're doing at the end of the day. You're selling. Mm. Even if you were selling the American dream where you had to be Susie Housewife, you had to sell that idea better than Janie Housewife. Mm-hmm.
And Sally.
Betty Housewife, Becca Housewife. You had to sell it better than them. Mm. This is capitalism. It's all sales.
It all is.
You know what I'm saying? So, when like that's how I frame things for me, and that's what allows me to be more practical and to be like a phoenix about it, because I understand at some point this thing has to die and either die and be gone for good or die right, and come
evolve. Back
with,
right, and yeah, come back better. Sure.
Exactly, and stronger than it was. So with that understanding, then I need to allow those forces to be at work for me if I truly believe in providence. Mm. If I truly believe that providence is taking course. If I truly believe that I wake up and I live in a good world, right? I was living and working in Hawaii 15, 16 years ago. Who would have thought I bumped into one of my coworkers that was a civilian in Wegmans 16 years later in Buffalo?
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It can be serendipitous or it can be providential to let me know that you never know. This world is, it can be small when you need, like when it has to be. Mm. When it's bringing you order, when
it's supposed
universe
to be.
Is working
sure.
in its divine order, it can be as small as it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Just for that, you know, interaction, just for that connection. Sure.
It can break through a temporal rift between time and space, just like real compassion. I believe love is the service. That's the phenomenal manifestation, right? We always try to say, well, I don't know what love is. I believe love is the service, the commitment to service for something else. Mm. Compassion is the feeling, the yearning, the desire, you know what I'm saying? That's driving that service. You know, that inward thing that's just like, you know, the birthday pass, and I didn't get to get what I wanted to get for him. That's compassion. You know what I'm saying? Even if it broke the bank, it's love. That's the service. You know what I'm saying? And she had, like, that person had to break the bank.
Mm.
It just wasn't enough. If you leave, you're blowing up an air mattress, right? If you blow the air mattress up too far, we know it's going to blow up. However, if you suck in the air out the mattress and you leave the vacuum on, you leave the generator on for too long, what's going to happen? You're going to break the machine. So there has to be a humble balance, a harmonious balance between the two things. You know what I mean? You can suck it too long, pause, and break it, or you can blow it up too long and bust it. So you have to have, like, this harmony. You get what I'm saying?
The dynamic balance.
Yeah, it has to be a dynamic balance between the two. And it's always a us thing. It's never a them or me, right? We can pretend, but it's never really that. The heart side, the human side of us, is never a them. It's always a us. But as a capitalist, there's a them. And that's how you want to play it. So then we go back to that Kodak situation I was saying earlier. I know I was born into a fucked up situation. I know I was born into this type of world. So my job as a strategist with this platform is to show my mastery and how emotionally intelligent I can be, or how tactful I can be to this degree, to show you that you're like how much you're not on my level versus, you know, resulting to the base level of me. And I want to blow your shit off when I leave here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Verbally blow his shit off then. You understand what I'm saying? You're only smarter by playing a smarter opponent.
Yes.
And you just lost. Dust yourself off. Dust your dusty self off.
And
get
back
in here. Mm-hmm. We would have paid you if you won, but you lost. So take yourself home and brush that too. You know what I'm saying? For the Harlem Night lovers out there, they understand that, right?
Classic.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and I say that to say on par with what you was talking about with the friendship thing. Like, we would have paid you if you won, but you lost severely. Severely.
Yeah.
And then you doubled down in the loss.
Yeah.
Nights like this.
I wish.
You doubled down.
You want my spot splash?
Yeah.
Huh? You ain't gonna get it.
Rip it open.
You ain't got it.
down. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know.
I can't walk away.
Man.
They
had to cut him loose. Mm. They had to modulate their relationship with him. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And he went back and got clean and came back and said, I feel like
going.
Yeah. Had everybody with goosebumps in the joint. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And he got back right. And that's what it has to
happen. Him and Baby
Doll. Man, love has to, that's the only way that it grows fonder, man. Like, sometimes I couldn't imagine, like, I imagine being in a house with, like, as a full family, but then I imagine, like having my life as it is, as a co-parent. Like, I love missing my son and then seeing him all over again. You know what I'm saying? Because I probably would feel like he's a miserable bastard and so am I if I had to deal with him
every day
as a single parent. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He would start to get on my nerve.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know I'll get on his. I get on his just for waking up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes
he'd be like,
oh, man. You know what I mean? Hear that refrigerator open, pop up. He's like, damn. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get my juice. So, you know, yeah, man. That all goes back into that unconditional love, unconditional life thing, too.
Mm-hmm. It does. But then not only that, remember, it's going back to self. That unconditional love has to start with you first.
Because ain't nobody going to love you, like I was saying in the lecture, man. Ain't nobody going to love you like your mama, man. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody going to give you cute and cuddlies, deliver them to you,
nope.
Keep you warm at night like your mama. Come bail you out of jail, you can be a complete miscreant. You can be a fucking stain
in life.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, just
scum of the earth,
just you know, just hot breath and no solution. It's just terrible, and she's still gonna love you. You know what I'm saying? And I know how much a person loves themselves by how much they love their mom. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the outward expression of how much you should, and I know I probably shouldn't say should because it's obligatory or shameful,
yeah.
But how you might love yourself. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come in your room, clean your clothes up, complain. That's your inner self. That's your inner critic, like, you know you're supposed to clean up. You know what I'm saying? But she's still going to do it for you. And you're going to do that, like, you later learn to do it for yourself. Well, some of us. Some of us never learn to do that kind of stuff. Some of us never learn how to love ourselves unconditionally. Mm. Some of us penalize ourselves and they judge ourselves. We judge
over and
ourselves
over
like
again.
We judge ideas. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we always have to remember, like the Bible says. And I don't mean to get biblical or religious because that's not my thing. I'm very spiritual. I'm like,
sure.
Not religious at all. But I've studied a lot of them. It says they forgive them because they know not what they do. Mm. And I know I need to be forgiven. And that keeps me grateful and it keeps me humble because I need to be forgiven. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to fuck up. I'm going to transgress because it's against you.
Right.
I'm living my life, of course. But to you, I've transgressed. I've hurt you in a terrible way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to need forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
so we always going to be in that flux. It's always going to be bigger dick, bigger bankroll.
It's always going to be the whole, you know, the space of talking about forgiveness and trespassing. It's also a thing is we're works in progress. Like, we're, you know, we get an opportunity to get up every day and try to our very best to get it right. That's why I love what we do. Like, I get an opportunity to get it right. And like you said, I don't know, again, as much as I should. So when you, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Man, the more curious you become.
And so then you're like, okay, it's this continuous quest.
Like that brother from Howard said, he was just like, the more answers you receive, is the better you're able to articulate your questions, something like that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the stronger your language becomes, the more challenging your questions should become.
Mm. Right, absolutely. What makes sense?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So.
Awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yo, this was dope.
This was mad dope.
Yo,
this was mad dope. And it was quite convivial.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, it was.
It was a feast. It was fellowship. Mm-hmm. It was hearty. It was welcoming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Who's welcome best to chime in whenever, you know, during his lecture.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it was a great time. It was a blessing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Great tidings.
Both of you. Dope space.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah. Especially at the crack of dawn, but yeah.
So before we close out,
yes.
Where can these folks find you
at? Wow. You can find me in a few different places. My website, empowerme.com, empowerme.com. That's empowerme with two E's.com. I am on Instagram. The handle is liberated_women. That's liberated_women. Liberated women. And I'm on Facebook as well. I'm on Instagram more than I'm on Facebook. But every Monday, 7:30 p.m., I'm on Facebook Live. And you can find me under Tamara L. McMillan and also McMillan Empowerment Enterprise. So, yeah, email address, hit me up, Tamara@empowerme.com or empowerme2@gmail.com. So those are some spaces that I'll be hanging out. I'd love to connect with you if you have any questions. What I do on Mondays on Facebook at 7:30, we accept questions from anyone using my platform as a way to share my trials and my learns and the things that I've gotten wrong and how you can leverage that information for your practice and becoming better, because it is active. There's nothing passive about it, I assure you. So, yeah.
Awesome. So we want to thank you for coming on and sharing your time with us. And I feel like the greatest payback for a person of your caliber is the hundreds of thousands of hours of time that individuals are going to pay you attention.
Thank you for that.
You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like there was a lot of wealth in this exchange. And speaking of which, I'd like to ask a great closeout question.
Okay. So, what's a great closeout question?
I got three for you.
Three? Sheesh.
So.
Okay.
At this point in your life, at this very nexus.
Yep.
Where you are in control of anything but yourself. You're in no regrets of what happened earlier today. You are fully open and prepared for tomorrow. Right?
Yeah.
What do you like about where you are right now? This very moment. What do you like about this whole experience?
That I'm still growing and I'm getting stronger, more confident, and more secure in my gift and talent in the way in which I share it with the world.
I like how secure plays on monies too, because of security. You know what I'm saying? So when you say more secure, you definitely become more secure. You know what I mean? So my second question is, what do you dislike? Because we could always talk about this thing as if we got rose-colored glasses on. If anything at all, what do you dislike at this nexus right now in your experience?
I don't know if I would necessarily say dislike. I don't know how.
So let me reshape this.
Okay. I had something though, but
go ahead then. Go ahead, because I thought you might have did that. I had something else for you.
No, Jeez. I have something. The thing that I don't want to use the word dislike, because I don't dislike, But the thing that I think of instantly when you ask me that question, like, so there was one of our scholars that came into the office. We'll call her B. She brought two students in. She was struggling with chemistry. We got her, you know, hooked up with some our enrichment tutor. She got a 93 on her final exam. Boom. And now she looks like she'll come out unscathed and not on academic probation, right? So the two young ladies were interested in C-STEP and what we do. And I gave them this full-blown out presentation. They're sitting there in awe. Then the GA comes over, Carlos comes over, William is there, and we're all having this great conversation. So I guess right now for where I am, because I know that there's another level or higher level, there's a deeper level, and I will ultimately have to jump off from this space. Like with the NEA Mentor program, it's dead now. So yeah.
And that's deep though, because again, that shows your commitment to service. So it's just like you wear that to say that, you know. And to me, that says a whole lot. You know, I ain't even gonna go that far anymore. It's just like I wish I had somewhere to have it, to put my passion, to have my service, my love be seen. You know what I'm saying? But that's dope. That's mad dope.
Thank you.
And then my final question is. From this very moment right now, as you're prepared to go into tomorrow that's untouched and freshly new, as my Baraka loves to say, what might you do differently?
Get more done and don't go to sleep when I'm tired, but go to sleep when I'm done.
In the words of the great Mike Fox, I'm messing things up. Go home and go to sleep.
Right.
I'm come back when I wake up.
His mistakes are plentiful and they sparkle. Spectacular. They're spectacular. Yeah. Right. And they're plentiful. That's right. Yeah. They're spectacular and plentiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes. So, yes, again, thank you so much for hanging out with
sure.
us. Burning the midnight oil with
yes.
us.
Yes. Off of the culture, off of the cause. Come on.
This is all the hustle, man. Yeah, this is all identifying with that lower end with 45 cause, that predator. You know what I'm saying? The super predator. We just tapping into that gene and just staying up and doing it. And what I mean by staying up, we just really recorded 4 hours worth of content that I'm going to chop up into
literally
part one and part two of just straight fire, straight heat, straight fuego. So, as we said earlier, man, it's morphin' time, man. It's just time. It's high time that you tap into your creativity. This podcast is a license.
For to be you, able to do so.
Yeah, for you to do so. We validate you and your creativity, and we do it unapologetically because that's what it means to be authentic within our human experience. So, Goose, where could they find you at, man?
Goose Swavy on everything.
Not Goose everything. So Swavy, just no. Goose Swavy.
Right.
All right.
Goose Swavy on everything.
Yeah, man, the man told me his name was Goose Swavy for years.
Never.
You know, he said never.
Man, for years he did it, man.
Goose Swavy.
Straight up, man. He manipulated me. and I'm Naj, man. And at times I can turn into the Phoenix. I can be found at Ask the Phoenix on Instagram. That's at ASKTHEPHOENIX on Instagram. You can find me at Naja Bolden on LinkedIn. That's NAJJABOULDIN. Stop by my website. Email me, www.phoenixinnovationgroup.com. Holla at me. Let's keep this dialogue going, man. Hashtag us. You know, keep us in the hashtag of Shatter and Slavitude and Asking the Phoenix. Girl, you got some hashtags too, right? Liberated.
Oh, know? My goodness. Yes, Liberated, Project Girl. Project Girl. Get Your Mind Right. Growth Mindset. Business Coach. Lifestyle Coach. It's Your Time. To Shine. Do a Thing Called What You Want.
All that shit. All that shit.
Yes, all that.
And if you ain't inspired after listening to this, then you damn sure intimidated. And that's all right. That's all right. I encourage you to hit replay and pass it along to your support group, because likely they're just like you. So so y'all know what y'all can do, always and forever. You know what I'm saying? We wish you the best.
Yes.
And
yo, and then stop waiting for the new year to do something. You know, feeling like you need, you know, the clock to strikes. You know, New Year's, January 1, whatever year it is. If it's something that you want, get up and go get it. If it's something that you need, make that thing happen all the way. And there's no better time than right now to do that. Not now, but right now.
Written that. You hear me? And she freestyling. You see, the mic's still smoking, man. You know, in the culture, man, they be like, man, it's hot, man. Hold up, man, relax.
It's dripping.
You know what I mean? It's dripping. So, as we always say, man, God's creating, devil's destroy, man.
Mm.
So you kings and queens out there, you know, continue to ascend higher and higher, man. You know what I mean? On your quest and on your journey of becoming more and more self-aware. And to those gods and goddesses, continue to enlighten and transform and breathe life and disrupt, you know, for and challenge folks to shatter that paradigmic thinking. And as always, Phoenixes, flame on.